Lime, duh.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello.
Okay.
All right.
Stupid, 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 stupid.
That's not kind, everybody. Welcome to the Comedians Wrestling Podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host who is the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black.
Someone you idolize.
A.K.A. Donsky Blackamora. A.K.A. Papa Oat Milk. A.K.A. the King of Iron Fist Hawaii. A.K.A. the modern day goof and spoof Hal Raja.
I'm going to tear the living shit out of you.
Sammy Guevara.
A.K.A. what am I doing? Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby. Gabba, gabba, wee.
Gabba, gabba, yeah. Wee. Gabba, gabba,
gay. Gabba, gabba.
Monday Night Raw is presented by Southern New Hampshire University.
Who gives a shit? I don't know where I'm at. This girl, she's mine. Hop, hop, hop. Damn, she's fine. Welcome, everybody, to the Comedians Wrestling Podcast. We are back in action for your satisfaction of all our spicy, spicy, muy, 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 chef's kiss, caliente reactions. I have to rush through the opening today, folks. And the reason I have to is because my internet was down all day, and we're recording a little later, and I'm chomping at the bit. I'm Tommaso Ciampa-ing at the bit. Has he ever said that? I'm Ciampa-ing at the bit for this match. He wouldn't do that because that would be too clever for anything going on at NXT. Anyway, everybody, Tough Guy Alley in full zone. Kyle O'Reilly, a star? No, not a star. Not a star. I'm a fan, but he's not. I'm not. You know, they're trying to put a fedora on him. And all right, we'll get into it. I'll introduce everybody. Let's get into everybody. Remember, this podcast is supported by you guys over at patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Everything we do is supported by you. If you want more, go there. Plus, the Cow Movie Club is back by popular demand. Season 3, our first episode of the Cow Movie Club, our 420 special edition is up. It's See No Evil 2, starring the mayor of Knoxville County, Tennessee, Glenn Jacobs, a.k.a. Kane. And it's the sequel to that movie. It's on Tubi.com, which is, by the way, Tubi is, I've said many times before, people know this, Tubi is Hold for Fireworks, one of my guys. It's free. It's got Bloodsport. It's one of my guys. All right. If you watch a Van Damme movie, it automatically goes into another Van Damme movie. All right. There's a lot to like about Tubi, and it's free, everybody. Check that out. So we'll have more. Our next movie next week is, I don't know what it's called, but we're watching this. It's Bruce Willis and Lana in space. Okay, so we'll be watching that. Those episodes are a blast. We had Nasty Newman on for 420. Check it out. Go to Patreon.com.
I think that's actually the title. I think the title is Bruce Willis and Lana in space. That's the title of the movie, isn't it?
Sierra Hotel. Echo.
Oh, my God.
Romeo. Oscar. Shapiro.
What's up, Dan? How you guys doing?
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for the heads up.
Hold on. That's a good reminder, actually. I wasn't fully dressed yet.
Yeah. Oh, no. Don't do it.
I wasn't even fully dressed yet. Putting on my my beautiful the King of Iron Fist Hawaii beads.
They're not beads. Yeah. They're not beads. It's a Kukui.
Jason Shapiro, Comedian Cow Champion in the house.
What's up?
I guess. The winner of Calmania 3, he defeated me. You can see that right now on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/C/comediansofwrestlingpodcast. Right, Phil? Is that what it is? youtube.com/C/comediansofwrestlingpodcast.
The C, because the C is for channel. It's for channel. It's YouTube, and the channel is comedians. So any YouTube channel, unless you get a vanity link, it's all nowadays. is youtube.com/C/.
youtube.com/C/comedianswrestlingpodcast. Anyway, Shebs is here, and he's here. Look, he's the champion. Champions privilege matters a bunch. I can't stop this fucking asshole from coming here, and that's his deal. Also, Nick Tulo in the house, the supermarket, the market tech. Nick Tulo, what's up? Oh, we don't need to see, Phil says.
Oh, boy. Well, we're both
hey,
wrong.
That's what she said, folks. I'm watching The Office, so I'm going to be throwing in. That's what she says for you, for the diehards. Looks like we lost a couple listeners. All right, Tulo's in the house. What up, Tulo?
Oh, what's up?
How was your trek to Austin, Texas?
It's great. I picked out a place, getting ready to move.
You're moving to Austin, T.
I'm moving to Austin, Massachusetts.
Love it. Love it.
Wow.
Austin is a great city. Austin's a great city. I think it's a road trip, actually. Or both.
Road trip.
Tulo, Austin. I've never been to Austin. I've been all over Tejas.
Well, if you wanna venture yourself into Austin and bring that fucking gold title with you, I'm sure we can organize a spectacle of our choosing that will draw bigger than anything that's ever drawn before.
Wow! Look, I love the attitude. I love you.
I mean, someone's
got to
fucking talk about what the next step is around here. We've just Calmania 3 comes and goes, and we just don't even hear anything from the loser or the winner.
There's no in the Cal universe. You know, our roster is, instead of the hundreds of superstars that WWE has, our roster is about 5 people. So you know, we can't fill out a pay per view every month. I just fought the fight of my life at Calmania 3. If you haven't seen it yet, check it out. youtube.com/comediansofwrestling.
No,
epic match. Dan, you're a good hand. You're a good hand, and you gave me the match of my life. I'm not ready to go to battle again.
Honestly, well, I'm not in Austin yet.
So. I don't want the podcast to go too long.
I know. We gotta rip through it. That's why you should interrupt me. Let me finish my thought.
I have 2 auditions tomorrow. Like, yo, let's do it.
Oh, auditions. Ooh, very, very important. Look, we're talking about the champion right now.
Sorry, some of us have shit to do. We can't just be living in Hawaii doing nothing.
Well, but that's just my point. Tulo's talking about, I'm not going to Austin. I'm not coming to the main. First of all, the champion doesn't come to the mainland for nothing. And I'll tell you this. If you think I'm even defending this title until the next major tentpole, whether it be SummerSlam or Royal Rumble, like, I just had Calmania, man. I don't have time for Cal Rumble. I mean, it's not going to be up on a random Backlash. Like, we gotta train. Yeah. We gotta get back to the basics here. Besides, I don't really see anybody who maybe earns a shot. I don't know. Like, what do you do to earn a shot? You're moving to Austin? So now you get a title shot for that?
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Oh, man. I just got a funny text. It's
fine. Oh, okay. Hey, so Dan.
You wouldn't get it. But so look.
What'd you do to earn a shot? You went out of your way to fucking sneak attack and beat my ass? Well, guess what? You know what? There's ways to get shots around, especially in this fucking, in this community. You can get a shot any way you damn well please. You just got to know people around here, you know?
Okay. All right, look, we can worry about, you know what? Frankly, look, right now, me and Shebs, we put on a spectacle. I brought my all. I'm not very proud of the outcome of that. I'm proud of a lot of things that I brought to the table there, and I'm proud of the support of the community. But obviously, look, at the same time, a pinfall is a pinfall, and sometimes in life you got to move on because you just have to, and sometimes because you're like, you know, you could be busy. You know, I'm pretty busy, so it is what it is. So, but anyway, I also I'm trying to focus on the listener here, the Jabroniacs. Get back to them. And I think that's what we should do. What do you guys think?
I think that's great. Sure. Let's do what we do best, which is put on a great wrestling podcast.
All right, so you're sticking around here, you're saying?
I'm going to stick around for a little bit. I mean, I got stuff. I got a fucking hot date later. I'll do 30 minutes or something, you know. Okay. But here's the thing. I got a lot of news to just get out real quick.
Well, right now we're in the – let me just set the stage here right now. We're on the road to WrestleMania Backlash. Okay?
You know what it is? We got off the road. We got off the exit to Backlash. We were on the road to WrestleMania. We passed it, and now we have to get off at the next exit, which is Backlash.
We never got off the stupid express. We're still on the stupid
express.
We're
like, fuck. We're on the stupid expressway. We should have gotten off at WrestleMania. Now we have to get off at the wrong exit at Backlash. Which is always the wrong
exit. A lot of morons out there kind of were like, oh, WrestleMania happened. I'll pop back in next year, forgetting that we are currently on the road to Backlash. We're on the road to WrestleMania Backlash. And so big matches coming up. A lot of them As always, this is what WWE seems to do. They give you the same matches. Like, everything goes to WrestleMania is not the end of any feuds. No.
They say, hey, let's run it back. Let's run it back one more time. You guys already take this match.
Yeah, but look how many times. This is my issue, okay? This is my issue. My issue is not that I like that some matches get you after Mania. I like that. My issue is that a lot of it is starting at Mania because they had no lead up, right?
Exactly.
So then they naturally are falling. So, for example, like, you could, like, the Big E Apollo Crews feud or Apollo. Like, that's, like, just starting now, it feels like, right? Like, now they just added in Dabu Kato with the Nigerian nail, which is just a repurposed Samoan Spike. I mean, Nigerian nail sounds cool. Like, y'all hit
your Nigerian
nail.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Because I think of, like, a fingernail. And that's because he's using his hand. So I think of it like a finger. Like, he hits him with an elongated thumbnail.
But I like the way he does it, though. He does, like, it's like a snap spike. You know what I'm
saying? No, it's cool. Look, it's cool. But here's the thing. What a waste.
Commander Aziz?
When you have huge guys and you give them strike finishes, like, this guy could be giving people ragdolling them with a razor's edge. He could be throwing people out of the – he could be pump handle slamming these guys and never even put it back. He could just do a pump handle and toss them 6 feet in the air. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, you pump handle, just do the motion, and don't even put them on your shoulder. Just launch them 6 feet up in the air from a pump handle. There's all sorts of cool, slammy shit they could do. What does he need a fucking – he's got to hit you? When Big Show's finish was just a stiff punch to the face.
Yeah.
Who wants that?
I mean, I'll give the guy credit. He was acting his ass off on Monday, though. Like, doing the whole fucking thing.
Dabakato?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he was psyched up.
He was psyched up. He was so pumped. He was like, I'm going to fucking do this. You want me to do this?
I think I was SmackDown, right?
He used to, for all my actors in the house, he used to be named Bada Kato. Bada, of course, the British Academy of Dramatic Arts. It's a big Shakespeare school.
I mean, but like we just saw this guy, like,
God's Fifth Element? Because he's like... the fifth element of SmackDown? I don't know.
Saw this guy on
it's Earth, Wind, Fire,
Raw Underground.
Heart, like, and not too long ago. Everyone knows that, right?
Yeah, of course. Earth, Wind, Fire, Dabakato. I gotta tell you, no,
that's a sick shirt. Earth, Wind, Fire,
Dabakato. I don't know if it is, but I like it. Tulo, you said we just saw him on Raw Underground. This is pro wrestling, man. I would love to see the timetable between how long between he was like Rosie and Jamal and then into Umaga, or like how long was it like Papa Shango into Godfather. Kama Mustafa?
Well,
like,
let me ask you something, because I had this thought when I was we were jumping around a little bit, but so they were they had Heyman cutting a promo on Cesaro,
right?
And I was like, yo, but he was his manager for a little bit. Do they have to acknowledge that?
No, they don't.
That's like a couple. That's like 5 years out, right? That's five.
Right.
That's
five. They're not even acknowledging the real money thing that's going to be happening down the road. Is when Lesnar comes back. Like, Heyman is Lesnar's manager. Now he's Roman's manager. Those guys feuded forever. They're both main event guys.
Brock's gonna come back, baby, right? Because of
come on.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
He's stole my manager, baby heat.
What I think is going to happen is Brock's going to come back on Raw, dominate Raw. Reigns is going to dominate SmackDown. Heyman's going to rep both of these guys. And then there's going to be some sort of turn. Maybe Roman turns face again later. But I think Heyman's going to have the whole stable. But to talk about Cesaro, first of all.
I just have one quick thing to say.
Please.
Do you ever think we get an acknowledge me, let me in off? Meaning you have Bray and Reigns face to face. He's like, let me in. And he goes, acknowledge me. Acknowledge me.
And then
get caught in a loop of not acknowledging or letting each other
duck
in.
Season,
and then they have to bring in a therapist. They got to bring in the Bailey Sasha therapist. They got to bring him in to work this out. He won't let me in. And but he won't acknowledge me.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Before you could let someone in the door, you have to acknowledge that someone's outside the door.
Yeah, which comes first, right? You have to let somebody in. You can't acknowledge until you let them in, right?
No, see, you and me are at odds like that. We always are feuding. You think that you can't acknowledge someone unless you let them in. You got to let them in to acknowledge. I'm saying you got to acknowledge first. You got to acknowledge that someone needs to be let in.
But I was thinking it's like a physical let me in, like to the house. We can't have a conversation through a door. You know what I mean?
What I'm saying, like, is that you can't even. I'm saying this. I never just open the door when no one's outside. I don't go, hey, no one's out there. Let me open the door.
I'll open the door once you acknowledge me. You're saying
that's how it goes. I'm saying, yeah, well, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Do you know who I am, like, almost.
I've never just said to myself, hey, maybe someone's outside. I'm going to open the door just in case. No, first I acknowledge that someone is there, and then I got to let them in.
Well, they also should acknowledge
this
you,
is
though.
So chicken or the egg. You could see this the other way. And also the least productive wrestling conversation, but the most fun happening on
this
the
is, I'll file this under barely about wrestling. This is barely about wrestling.
I saw a couple wrestling memes this week, and then we'll get into you. You said you had a couple things. And I would like to talk about these great wrestling memes I've seen this week. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad.
Okay.
But this one I fucking adore. It's like a hot chick smiling. I said this to you guys, right?
Yeah.
And she's smiling, and it says, "When you meet another wrestling fan," and she kind of has the eyes in her, the eyes of like, wow, like lighting up, being like, "Yo, you're a mark? Cool, I'm a mark," you know. But then the next one is her with her mouth even wider. She's even more excited when it says, "When you meet another wrestling fan," that's the first one, and then the second one with her wider, she goes, "And they also acknowledge Roman Reigns as their tribal chief."
It's a great meme. It's a great meme.
So funny.
We love it.
That's just straight up funny. No.
And I'll tell you something very rare. I have also never seen that photograph in the meme-osphere. I've never seen that meme before.
No, that's true. Normally, it's like that girl, the guy's talking to her ear at the movie theaters, or the two girl the walking by, he's looking back at the other chick.
Right, those are the classic meme template.
It's not
images.
A cliche meme template.
Right, so it's a fresh meme template, and it's a fresh, and by the way, so niche. Like, who, such a small audience for this.
Now, did you see this Friends one?
What's the Friends one? I don't remember.
It's almost impossible to explain, but it's Phoebe talking to Joey, and she's saying Dominic. And he's like, Dominic, saying it back, but he's a confused face. And then it's her going, Dijakovic. And then he's going, Dijakovic. And then it says, Dio. And then it says, Dio. And he's still confused. And then she says, Madden. And then it's Madden. He's still confused. And then she goes, all right, Dominic Dijakovic and Dio Madden. And then he looks like he's like, I got it. But then it says, T-Bar and Mace.
Oof.
Is that the most deep cut wrestling
deep
game
cut.
Of all time? Look at this.
It's a deep cut. It's this. A deep cut. We should we talk about Mason T-Bar?
Let's jump right into it. Then you said you had two things, right?
Well, or do you have more memes? Do you got more memes in the meme stack?
I do. I definitely
hit me with
do.
Some, hit me with some more memes.
Describing memes content?
Yeah, well, you can watch it on YouTube.
I think this is peak digital age content. A podcast where you discuss memes about wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's another thing. It's not a meme, but I saw it on the bar wrestling, not bar wrestling, the Bleacher Report wrestling thing. But it's Karrion Kross commenting about retiring John Cena, which is like, why would he even? And he goes, I would be very honored. I would be honored and very ready. This guy thinks he's getting anywhere near Cena, this jabroni.
Wow. Well, so it's not like a promo where he was like throwing, like spewing, like trying to do what Riddle does, where he like, you know, punches outside of his league.
I think he got asked it in an interview, and he's believing his own hype enough to not go. That's a ridiculous thing. It's a ridiculous thing.
I have never in my life seen somebody who, like, I've just never seen this before, where someone is so elevated because they are dating a hot chick. I've never seen it. I didn't see it in high school. I didn't see it in college. I don't see it as an adult, where it's like, this guy's okay. His girlfriend is like a big deal. So now he's a huge deal. I've never seen that happen. Like, maybe it's maybe it happened with Roseanne Barr and Tom Arnold, where it's like, was a huge.
That's the proper. They're the Roseanne Barr, Tom Arnold of wrestling.
Right. Like, Tom Arnold was very funny. Well, pretty funny. He's a comedy writer, stand up. Okay. Tom Arnold's
fine. He's really funny.
No, I love Tom Arnold now, but at the time, everyone's like, who the fuck is this guy? And then all of a sudden, Roseanne's like, no. I'm Roseanne. I'm the belle of the ball. I'm like a big deal. My show's a huge hit. I'm the domestic goddess.
Yeah, I got more wrestling memes.
Oh, you got more memes in the meme sack.
This one's all visual, though. It's Sasha Banks. Oh, it's 0 for 6 at Mania.
That's an amazing streak.
It's the streak. It's the streak.
An amazing streak. Honestly, that's my favorite meme. That's my favorite meme. So it's Sasha Banks' head superimposed on the dead man's body on Undertaker, doing the Undertaker kneel. with the hand raised with 0-6 emblazoned on the Titantron behind her.
Which, by the way, it's going to be cool because the Sasha streak is going to be, you know, we've talked about it. It's going to be a cool story for her when she does win because they're going to have to start acknowledging her loss streak.
I don't think it's going to get quite to 21. Like, I think she's probably going to win in the next two Manias and it's going to be a semi-big deal.
All right, I got another wrestling meme.
All right, you got another meme.
All right, did you see this one?
Have you seen this?
You guys seen about this?
Are we doing Jay Leno style? Have you guys seen this?
This is Rhea Ripley. She's crying at the beginning of WrestleMania, and Jinder Mahal standing right behind her in full gear, and she's like really emotional because she's like at WrestleMania. But it says, when you notice that the greatest WWE champion of all time is behind you, and you're trying your hardest not to mark out.
Wait, when was this from?
How do you not have that picture of that signed picture of Jinder Mahal up on that wall next to The Rock? I mean, like,
because it's too busy signed on my mantle in a framed. It's framed in my mantle.
Put it here. You should bring it to the studio so the marks can see it.
I know. But it's more for the guests of the house.
Wait, hold on. Was that picture a Photoshop or was Jinder Mahal? Wait, so at what point was Jinder standing behind
WrestleMania? The beginning of WrestleMania was
this year.
You and I were on the beach still.
Oh, okay. I had no idea Jinder was even in the company right now.
Yeah, he's still in the company.
What's he
doing? The company of other champions, as a matter of fact.
No, well, he's on my Mount Rushmore, obviously. But like, what's he involved? What program is he? He's wrestling. Like, what show is he on? Where's Jinder?
He hasn't been on, but he's still in the part of the company.
Have you seen him on?
I got another wrestling meme. You ready for another wrestling meme?
No, I just have one more Jinder question. Can you answer my question?
Yeah.
Have any of you guys seen Jinder on like actual linear content? Like, has he been in any segment?
No, he's not part of anything.
Okay.
He was out there at the beginning of WrestleMania. Every wrestler came out and Vince welcomed everybody back to being a live crowd again.
Gotcha, to go back
to the Thunderdome the next day.
I don't get it though. So why wouldn't they release someone like that? That they're just not using at all.
Well, Tulo, this next meme will get us into the firings because that's what we should talk about.
Yeah.
But it's Samoa Joe at WrestleMania wearing a poncho. And it said, my boy stood in the rain only to get released a week after that.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that one's just mean. But so let's get into the firings because, let's just talk about it. Listen, companies let people go, whatever.
Yeah.
It is something we should note that WWE has had record profits this year. They're doing better than ever, but they are letting these talents go. Now that being said, they also are bringing in a ton of NXT talent. You know what I mean? So, right? Am I wrong?
No.
I don't see their books, so I don't. You know what I mean?
But if you look at what the factors to their success were this year, profits wise, I think it's because of Samoa Joe and Billy Kay. Like, I think those two factors. Really, they upped the ante. I mean, he was doing announcing work. She was no longer in the Iconics. That really moved the needle for a lot of people.
Well, okay.
By the way, kidding.
They also let Peyton Royce go, by the way.
Oh, so, did they? I didn't even hear that.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, I think Peyton Royce should be let go. I think Billy Kay is better than Peyton Royce.
Well, okay. That being one thing I want to say.
I didn't like that push.
Letting Samoa Joe go is one of those things that marks need to back off a little on because he's been hurt. Like a lot of these guys, you can't get so bad. I don't know. I guess it's tricky. Actually, I don't have a total. I could see an argument in the other way here, but because they're getting hurt doing the thing you're paying them to do, you know what I mean? But if a guy like Samoa Joe is a guy who was pretty pushed, right?
Yeah.
Like he's had a pretty nice, he's got title shots at Brock Lesnar, had some nice runs, and then always goes down. So if you're Vince or whatever, what do you do with a guy like Samoa Joe? He's 40-something years old. He's also getting paid, by the way, he's being paid like a main eventer contract to announce. You know what I'm saying? Right.
So I think that Samoa Joe, by the way, so good as an announcer. So great on the stick, which I didn't even realize.
I think he's going to be re-signed, Joe. I think they let Joe go to re-sign him to the proper contract.
That's what I think, because at the end of the day, you find a spot for that guy. You find a spot. You have to be a GM or something. You find a spot for Samoa Joe.
Right.
The thing is this, though. I also have the sneaking suspicion. If Joe was like a homegrown – you see, the thing is this. If Samoa Joe was like a homegrown Vince guy, If he like became Samoa Joe, like all those years in TNA were in WWE, they wouldn't be letting him go right now. They'd keep him on and let him ride it out. But he's not one of Vince's guys. He's not one of his toys.
I'll even just go to far as to say that Vince sees Samoa Joe's value and then just his guy, but is also like, how much am I paying this guy and how many matches is he giving me a year? You know what I mean? Like, right. I think they're like, and then also, you know, his knees are kind of done. That all being said, we don't know what they said to Joe. Like, we don't know if they went to Joe and were like, hey, we want to lower your salary, but move you more into an announcing role or whatever. And then he was like, nah, I could still go. In which case, you're at odds, right? And then, because he's an immediate AEW sign, right?
Immediate. Well, I think he's immediate. I think Billy Kay and I guess Peyton too. They should both immediately bop into AEW.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the other thing. So, so Samoa Joe, I understand why them firing Samoa Joe. Even though at first it felt shocking, you're like, you kind of just do the math and you're like, he's probably too highly paid for the amount he can go at this age, right? Okay, whatever. You know, whatever. I'm surprised he didn't have a better run. Again, there's another argument to be made that like they never strike when the iron's hot on these guys. Now he's hurt. He had like some pretty awesome moments that they didn't capitalize on. Okay,
right.
That's another argument to be had. But the weird thing is letting the Iconics go is so odd because they're the only women's tag team and they have tag titles.
Right. They're the only actual
legitimate
women's tag team.
Women's tag team. Like the only group who brings legitimacy to the women's tag
they broke them up.
Are them.
I know. They wanted to push them as single stars or push. They also.
No,
like,
they set them up to be fired. Like everyone knew they couldn't hang without each other. They're way too similar. To begin, like, right or no? They have the same gimmick.
Well, I'll tell you what, tag team.
I think they try to push that Peyton is like the more legitimate wrestler, and that Billy is more of the comedy one.
They both can't wrestle. That's
not true.
They're both can't go that hard. They've never had matches you remember. They're fine.
I think. Well, you're going to ask Tulo loves everybody.
Yeah, I do. Except for you, Shabira. She had a really good run in NXT, Peyton, and so did Billy as well. But, I mean, when they're doing tag team work, they're not really getting... I mean, the matches are never really that big. So a lot of the times, they never really got to showcase their talents as much. I remember Peyton had a good match with Charlotte recently, but, you know...
Well, she had that promo. That's why I was kind of shocked with Peyton, because she had that promo against Charlotte that was effective, got some heat.
Yeah.
But then they didn't ride it. Like, she had she had that talking smack moment that, like, popped up on my feed like crazy, where she was like, I'm so good. And then they had the thing, it got heat because her mom said Charlotte needs to get out of the way for the other women.
Yeah.
And that led to Charlotte's current, like, gimmick essentially is Peyton directly led to that. So Peyton being let go was really surprising to me. I really thought Vince was going to try her. Billy Kay less surprising because she was kind of floating, but at the same time she seemed valuable to me because she's really funny and entertaining. So I was surprised also. But
well, that's the thing. Billy, like, it seemed to me like I didn't even know they let Peyton go. Like, Peyton was the one they seemed like, hey, we're going to bet one of these horses. We're going to bet Peyton. We don't need them both. Let's get rid of Billy. But to me, Billy is the money star there. Billy has more value to me because Billy is definitely funnier. She just is. She's a funnier person.
I mean, talk about if you put those two with Britt Baker, I mean, what a fucking stable.
A stable. That's an instant success.
I imagine the Iconics will both pop up
in
AEW.
And I have a feeling AEW is going to have a women's tag title very soon because they have with Dark and Elevation both going and the amount of tag matches and women that they have that are in the system now. Like, I see tag titles coming. And honestly, if they fucking put the title on Britt and then tag titles on them, it would be insane.
That'd be huge. But
from a fan's perspective. This is the way I've been thinking about firings now. Is it good for us? Okay, now forget about them. Mm. Like, they'll make more money there, blah, blah, blah. But, like, let's take Samoa Joe, for example. I think we as fans are way better off with Samoa Joe in AEW, I think.
Or, wherever he goes.
In AEW, I think he can really do Team Taz. Like his thing. He can really have the matches he wants. He'll have a lot more creative freedom. You know what I mean? Like there are like you don't need Rollins. You don't need Rollins in AEW. Like Rollins thrives in the WWE environment. See, like some people do really well there, and they're Vince's guys and blah blah blah. You know, but I think Samoa Joe is a guy where you're like he just belongs. That AEW like let's just feels like great fit. The worry is if you're Tony Khan about signing a guy like Joe. You've signed Christian, right? You start being like, are we making something people have seen before? But I think you're going to be fine because you still have Kenny in the box. You have all those guys, you know?
But also, they're not signing guys people don't want to see. These are guys that people want in. Like, people want Joe. They want even Christian. They're like, fuck.
Immediately they're going to go, Joe. Like, your crowd
They're going to lose their mind. I really do have a lot of respect for the signings of AEW. I think they do a pretty good job. Like,
they never take the guys where you're like, you know, like they didn't sign Cardona. Like, that's the example, right. I think. Right?
Right. That's a great example. And then on the other side, you have Sting, where it's like, I didn't even think that Sting would be back. And I wasn't even that excited.
Sting!
I was like, actually, it's pretty awesome that Sting's around. Like, and the Darby stuff is a nice little touch. Like, it's good. They're doing good. I famously have turned down working at WWE 3 times. I would probably pick up the phone for AEW. Tony Khan wants to call the champ. I'll pick up the phone. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I would have no desire to work for a creative team at WWE. It just doesn't seem like it would be any kind of fun.
I don't think there could be. It's got to be one of the worst writing jobs.
I truly don't know.
It's got to be one of.
I truly don't fucking know what I watched on Monday night. Okay, I am watching 3 hours of illogical booking. Nothing makes sense. Why am I seeing matches that I just saw on WrestleMania? They don't interweave anything together. They have Alexa Bliss doing something scary, and then right after that they put on something happy-go-lucky. It's like it's wild, man, and it's like starting to drive me crazy that like tonight on Dynamite, you know everything that's like they tell you their card. There's no Drew McIntyre goes to the back and says, Pierce, I want these two guys. I want him and Hank. And Adam Pierce is like, well, you know, you can't really all right, I'm going to give you your handicap match. You know, like it's just stupid. It's not good. Like
it's a little all over the place. It's a little all over the place.
Yeah.
Here's what I will say, though.
A shame because there's a lot of talent on that roster. There's a lot of people with high hopes and are excited to be on Raw. They're never going to get really used properly. Like, It sucks. I mean, it's still wrestling. There's still good shit that's happening. The Charlotte stuff was awesome. Like, but in the end, it's like 3 hours of this. I don't need to watch that anymore. Like, honestly,
I'm glad you're finally coming around to the dark side of saying, hey, there's too much wrestling. There's just too much wrestling.
Well, but I mean, you know, it's interesting because now with NXT on Tuesday, which is the smart move, you start really realizing like, all right, that is another night. Like
you like wrestling, you need to devote your fucking entire life to watching wrestling at this point.
Yeah.
And then alone if you want to talk about it on a podcast, I mean, forget it. I mean, this is like, yeah, I mean, it's over for us. But
what were you saying about NXT? Oh.
Well, I'm just saying, NXT is just like, it's a good show. Like last night's show was awesome. There's awesome rivalries and stories that just constantly build. Like, it's an easy show to put on. I think it looks fucking awesome. I think it being on its own night Tuesday, it'll be over a million viewers very soon. Like, I know we don't, you know, give a fuck about ratings, but you could see it heading in that direction. It's like, and it seems like the wrestlers are having a lot of fun and they have a hand in the storytelling, you know? So it's a completely different product from Raw. And to go from Raw to that, I'm like, why am I even fucking watching Raw? And honestly, I wasn't because I had Elevation on at the same time. Now I can watch AEW Dark Elevation, and Raw just seems silly to just keep it on in the background, you know?
So here's the one thing that WWE really consistently did this week. I noticed a theme this week that tied the whole week together from SmackDown to Raw. And I don't know if this dinged you guys. This was the week of the bitch. Everyone was saying bitch this week. Oh, everyone. Yeah.
They've been saying it so much.
But this was everywhere. Cesaro called Roman Reigns a son of a bitch. He goes, you see what that son of a bitch did? And let me tell you, when Cesaro said son of a bitch, that actually felt good to me because he sounded very foreign. He had an accent. As a guy who hangs around a lot of foreign guys, it's my family and stuff, everyone's calling people, this guy, he's son of a bitch. He's a son of a bitch. Like, it just sounded very authentic to me. So I like that. Alexa Bliss talking about, I pushed that bitch off the swing set. She was throwing bitch around. Yeah. Asuka screamed bitch in some sort of barely coherent scream fest. It was a bitch fest this week on the product.
It's been a bitch fest a lot, man. They've been using it so much lately.
Well, but I saw them doing it on the road to WrestleMania because that's the ceiling. That's the red zone.
Bad Bunny said bitch.
Well, Bad Bunny.
Bitches is auto heat in wrestling. It just is what it is.
Right, but they were doing it a lot on the road to WrestleMania, like go home WrestleMania. I was noticed on bitch because they can't say fuck or cunt or something. Like, they got to go like, this is the biggest curse word they got in the book. Yeah. So they were going bitch left and right. But I thought that was cooling down after WrestleMania.
No.
But no, now they're keeping going. They're keeping it happening. It's crazy.
Hold on. My dad is saying he wants to come on the podcast right now.
Right now?
Oh, my God. I can't wait to hear it. Don't tell us what it's going to be about. Let's just go.
I have no idea. Okay. I have no idea, but I have to figure out how.
Well, right, I've got a couple announcements that I need to make.
I'll just put them on speaker. Let me just call them right now.
All right.
I could do it the proper way, but let's just get them while I got them.
This is the best Black, podcast. Coming on the lot.
Richie, you're on the podcast. What's up?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing all right. You're being recorded. Did you actually want to say something to the podcast?
Yes, I have an announcement.
You have an announcement?
Been following, you know what's my favorite expression? The Ronda Rousey.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You right? if you smell what the Rousey is kicking, right?
That's right.
It's can you? I think it's. Rousey I think it's
kicking.
Well, wait, what is it? What is it? Can you say it again for us?
Now it's if you smell what the Rousey is kicking. Well, you know, Ronda and I, we go way back. And we have an announcement today. We're having a child.
Wait, you and Ronda Rousey are having a child?
That's right. She won't admit it. It's my kid. It is.
Wow.
Huge news.
Did you tell my mother / your current wife? What did she say?
It's nobody's business.
Wow. So you called me up. You said you had a special announcement. You texted me. Put me on the pod. I have a special announcement. And your announcement is that you can smell what the Rousey is kicking, and it's a child in her stomach, and it is my half-brother?
That's right. It is.
Wow.
You're going to be an uncle again.
Wow. This is huge news.
No, it's not uncle. It's a half-brother.
It's my half-brother, Richie.
It's not uncle.
If you want to make our family this complicated, you better learn how that's going to flow. All right, well, that's a huge announcement, and we have some other stuff to get to. And I'll have to call you later to have a more serious discussion about this.
Have a deep family conversation about fidelity and monogamy. And
I thought it was Travis Brown, not Richie Black.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, the father of Ronda Rousey is not Ronda Rousey's child is not Travis Brown. It's apparently Richie Black, an elder Jewish statesman in Long Island. She won't admit it? All right, Richie. All right, I got to go before this goes off the rails more.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Can we just marinate that?
Huge news out of Richie Black.
Huge news.
He called you to tell you he cheated on your mom.
Right.
With Ronda Rousey. Love it. Love to hear it.
And she cheated on Travis Brown with Richie Black.
And by the way, Travis Brown, former UFC heavyweight contender, he could kick the shit out of your fight. He could knock that ponytail right off his head onto your head. Your dad might be in danger here.
Yeah, listen, I wouldn't get near my dad. He's too potent.
Wow.
He might get Travis Brown pregnant.
Wow.
All right, that's listen. Huge. All right. Well, listen, a father of four, Richie Black. You heard it here first.
You love to hear it. Big announcement out of Richie Black. I don't think my
Did my dad mean to say that it was, or was he just trying to be like, yo, did you hear Ronda Rousey's pregnant, but then misspoke? Or did he call to make that announcement?
I think he came to make that announcement because
I guess we'll never know.
It didn't seem like a trip up. It didn't seem like a slip of the tongue. It seemed like he was really proud of himself for this one. He really seemed like he was having a good time.
So, all right, I want to jump back to NXT for a second and just say this about a guy like Kyle O'Reilly, okay? Then we'll get to Shev's announcements, okay? Okay, Shev's? Because we're talking about NXT. I said at the top of the show that he's not a star. It just dawned on me. Like, I like Kyle O'Reilly, right? Like, I watched him wrestle at PWG. I have a huge affinity for the guy. The guy can fucking go. He puts on great matches.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like he does not have the charisma to be opening up a show 8 p.m. on USA. Like, that's the thing that's so tricky about wrestling, is what do you do with a guy like a Kyle O'Reilly? I mean, we're talking about just because there's not a Stone Cold Steve Austin in the current wrestling verse doesn't mean that's not the level you need to open your show. You know what I mean? So you're not going to get the ceiling on a guy like this. I hate to be like a jerk. I like this wrestler. I know some of you will be upset. The ceiling on these guys being like stars, you almost understand why Karrion Kross is the champion over there. They have no choice. He's the only one that they got who's even close to being a dude where you would turn the channel on and be like, this guy looks kind of cool, you know?
Do you think that they are the same level of stardom? Or do you think that Karrion Kross is decidedly has more star quality?
More. He has more. Like, when you look at the roster over there, you're just kind of like, this guy, if you turn on the channel, you might keep it on. He might trick you for a little bit.
but that's the thing. I don't think he has star quality. I think he just looks bigger
than
those
guys. He's just big.
And again, he's standing next to a fucking dime piece. Like, he's only cool because of her. Without her, no one gives half a fuck about Karrion Kross, which is so weird to me. Not weird. It's just unique.
Yeah, I mean, this is all to say, it sounds like I'm shit talking. I'm not. I'm just saying, what is the goal of an NXT when it's like you want to be your own standalone show the same exact time on the same exact network after Raw, but people are supposed to understand this show is more about work rate? It's such a tall, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
I think you're overcomplicating it, to be honest with you, because I think you're taking it to a level where it's not. Listen, are they lacking some star power on the men's side? Yes. On the women's side, absolutely not. Like, it's that the women are completely carrying that brand. If you look across between Taya versus Io, that's going to happen. Saray versus Toni Storm. Raquel versus Mercedes.
Monet, bro.
Yeah, Frankie.
How have we not said Shotzi?
Shotzi and Ember Moon as tag champs are actually
Ember Moon, not a star. Shotzi, yes.
But they're at least a great tag team, and they make tag team wrestling seem cool.
To the Ember Moon.
What I'm saying is
one
that
of these days, one of these days, Ember.
To the one Ember of these moon. Days, Ember.
Wow, right to the moon.
Yeah, right. To the moon.
So,
which is a joke about punching your wife before the. That's what
comedy used to. Comedy used to be a little bit honeymooners. A little bit different.
Sorry
back
to
in the
interrupt you. Just saying, we had to say the honeymooners would close with a joke about one of these days I'm gonna punch you all the way to the moon. Right.
That was the T-shirt catchphrase. This was the moneymaker for that show. Is yo. You're Jesus annoying me right Christ. Now, and I'm going to abuse you.
And she was nothing but he was a bus driver, right?
Yeah, he was some shitbag fucking loser.
Jackie Gleason is a fat bus driver.
He's a fat piece of shit.
His wife was gorgeous and a homemaker for him.
He was a homemaker. She would slave away trying to make a nice home on a bus driver's salary. She was trying to make
threatened. And he would get every week to punch her all the way to the moon.
And then you have to understand, 50s shows also, the hijinks were always like the wives would get into some shenanigans. Yeah. They'd be like, oh, we want to get this new washer, but like, we can't afford it. Well, I sold his baseball collection. It's always like they're doing some harebrained scheme and the husbands have to come back and be like, oh, you broads did it again. And then everyone would laugh and hug.
This is because we said Ember Moon.
Yeah.
One of these days, Ember. One of these days, Ember.
She does the eclipse, bro. The joke's on you because you'll punch Ember Moon up to the moon, and then she comes back, hits you with the fucking eclipse, bro.
Well, there you
go. She eclipses the moon.
Yeah.
She eclipses the moon. You punch Ember to the moon for the eclipse. It's a tag team finish.
Yeah.
It's Gleason and Ember Moon. And he punches her, and then she flies up and hits you with the eclipse. What? I don't know. I loved it. I loved that combo. I just got to let you know. I mean, was it problematic? Many would argue yes.
We're on the right side of history, though. We're shining lights.
Let's go back.
Well, here's the solution.
NXT, when it was on the network, right? What I'm saying was that. It was. I don't know. Whatever.
Listen, there's storytelling. There's storytelling. It's, you know, the star power isn't there, but here's the solution. Why are we wasting talents like Ricochet and Shinsuke and go down the fucking list and having them stay up there, the Chad Gables of the world?
That's a great point.
Bring them fucking down to NXT, make Ricochet the fucking champion.
To headline that show.
I mean, what are we doing? Like, what's the point? They need to get it out of their thick fucking skulls that the system that they have in place just doesn't work anymore. And they're getting exposed by the other company that's doing it way better. Because guess what? Dark and Elevation are happening. And it's just a well-oiled machine. People get on there. They wrestle matches. If they impress, they get more opportunities. The big names come down. They get the new people over.
AEW has a nice, healthy flow going there.
Hold on. I got to step in here because we're overlooking a couple things. So,
okay.
One, WWE is
He was
running,
a bus driver. Yeah.
He was a city. You know what I'm saying? He drove a bus and he had the balls to threaten to hit her because she's just trying to put a nice life together. And yes, sometimes she goofs up around the house, but what's she supposed to do? He's got to bring it home fucking $2 a week. No, all right. What you guys don't understand is what you're overlooking here is AEW is responsible for one linear product. They have one job to do, okay? WWE is doing three big ones, and there's two or three other ones that aren't even a big deal. Raw is its own linear product. SmackDown is its own linear product. NXT is its own linear product. You could argue that UK bullshit is or fucking Cruise. I don't even fucking know what they're doing, okay? But so they are having a tougher time juggling all these balls because they're trying to figure out what each one is and how they're supposed to make it its own. AEW, it's real. If there was a Ricochet on Dark, it's very easy to bring him to Dynamite. It's all one continuity. It's all one universe.
That's what I'm saying. So they're exposed.
Can I tell you what you guys are saying? You're saying what I said the minute they brought back the brand split, however many years ago, where I said, hey, this is the end of wrestling being like good all the time. It's going to be too much to balance. Like, you need a B show. You need a B show so you could like put it in fucking neutral for a little bit, just kind of catch up a little bit.
Tula just walked off, but I wanted to.
I guess he was mad, but I wanted to talk about the Kyle O'Reilly star thing. You were saying you turned this on and you don't think he's a star. I think Adam Cole is a star. I think if you turn that on, you see Adam Cole, you go, yeah, this guy holds my attention. But the thing is this. You guys, and by you guys, I say the Marks, and I say you, Dan, I'm including you in the Marks. You can't have it both ways, all right? A lot of times you say, hey, why don't they give a guy like Kyle O'Reilly a shot? Let's see if he could do it. Like, you want them to give opportunities to these guys.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know. Like, let's see what happens if they put him in the main event spot. Let's see what happens.
Daniel Bryan disproves a lot of the stuff.
I disagree. I think Daniel Bryan is Kyle O'Reilly. They're the same thing to me. They are B+. Kyle O'Reilly is so close. He's so close to being everything you need him to be. And so is Daniel Bryan. But when you put him in that big spot, I mean, again, he's delivered a couple times. But he's still a B+ player. He's not fucking The Rock. He's not even Kurt Angle. He's just not that level of awesome. He just isn't. So I think Kyle O'Reilly is that. It's a charisma ceiling. We have a charisma ceiling on our hands.
I guess my thing is that I watch these guys. Some of them, and you're like, they're opening a wrestling show, and they're looking into lens just being, like, supposed to be angry. You know, classic, like, you beat me up last week. I was in the hospital. Now I'm back here, and I'm pissed. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to call them out in the lens. And I'm like, you need to be able to believably sell me that. You need to. And a lot of these guys cannot. And it just always is, like, so frustrating. You know,
it's upsetting. It's upsetting. But here's the thing. Like,
but
I
then
said,
I let it go for a guy like Cesaro, who I believe nothing. Like Cesaro, it's like he can't even stare at Reigns and like make you think he's upset. You know what I mean?
Right,
the guy's
right,
such a happy-go-lucky, like, coffee drinker. Even his finishing moves are just like, I spin them. Like,
I spin him around now. Cesaro's,
like, what he got praised for was, like, spinning the guy around a bunch of times. Like,
well,
even
they also,
it's a good time. It gets the crowd going, you know?
They also, they named that move on
I saw,
on
the UFO.
They called the UFO the Unidentified Flying Opponent. Yeah. Which I think is a terrible name for that. But
so here's the thing: the whole thing happened there during SmackDown. Michael Cole was like, "It's a UFO," and then I should have known better, dude, because Pat McAfee. He was also they both called it a UFO, and I was like. I should have known, like, oh, this is a scripted thing. But when Michael Cole said unidentified flying opponent, I was like, oh, that's so funny. Because I thought it was an offhand joke that he thought
right.
of.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because he was like, oh, because McAfee said he said UFO. And then I was like, wow, what a clever – these guys might have great chemistry, you know? And
right.
then I was like, oh, that's the name? That's the proper yeah. name? The proper noun is UFO, unidentified flying opponent. I was like, oh, that's terrible.
It's a real letdown. But it was a phenomenal move. And I will say this. I think Pat McAfee actually is a really good announcer.
Yeah.
He was great.
A good time. Everyone, he's always been good.
Nah, I didn't love the NXT shit with him. But I think he's got a home at that.
No,
desk.
But he announced another time. He announced that SmackDown, right? Where they couldn't fly back.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
when
right.
Adam Cole had the versus Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
He announced there and he was everyone was like, he was a good time.
And he was in the end of the ring at the end of the match. Like he was team NXT.
Yeah. But watch him. Let's track McAfee because, like, right now he is loose as a goose, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's having fun. Let's track him. Let's watch the soul get sucked out of him.
Do you think they're gonna put him on a leash? Like they give him the scripts and stuff.
Once at earpiece, he's gonna start being like, "Oh man, they're not letting me have any fun here," and he'll just leave.
Right. Right.
Because
right.
Let me tell you this though.
It's worth noting. I have been very underwhelmed. They added a couple announcers at the desk on Raw and on SmackDown, and those guys, it's always a nightmare. Whoever these new guys are just bad.
Okay, so I want to point something out. The guy who announces for Raw, the new guy in the middle, the guy looks like he's like my uncle, you know?
Yeah, Adnan right? or something.
That guy. Yeah, the guy who's like, he's like, they're like, they always bring these guys over from Real Sports or whatever, and they're
right,
like,
right.
It's like
and
the
they
worst
don't get
move
it.
Ever.
They don't fucking get it, and they pretend they're excited.
This guy literally said, the word we have a lot of storylines developing. This is how he opened Raw. He said storylines. I was like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Yeah. You don't call them storylines. That's
he was real bad.
This guy was awful.
Bad, bad, bad. And then McAfee shows up, and I'm like, give me
he's
more
a
of this
mark.
Guy.
He's a fucking legit mark.
No, but for sure. What do I want to say?
Let's get to your announcements.
You want me to get to my announcements?
You said you had two things you want to say.
I got more than two, but, you know. There's a couple things I need to tell you.
Tulo, you ready for his announcements?
I don't know what the fuck these are going to be. So.
Big announcements. Big ones.
Tulo, are your eyes closed under those Oakleys? Are you wearing the Kessy Oakleys? Or the Lisaks? You wearing the Lisaks?
I am.
Yeah. All right.
All right, so a couple announcements.
Rollins was great at the end of SmackDown. Did you see?
Well, because he had a power outfit on. When you wear a smoke jacket.
Everybody loves my drip.
He had the smoke jacket on for your boy.
His outfit was sick.
His outfit was on point.
He's the cotton candy prince.
When you're looking that good, of course, you're going to be feeling that good, and then some great stuff's going to happen. But let me get to my announcements. Phil, you might want to mark it. These are going to be big announcements. Huge. Announcement number one. Look, we don't need to rehash the past, but, you know, I did defeat you at Calmania 3. I retained my title. And I just want to let you guys know, part of what I did is I'm trying to elevate the show. All right, I'm trying to do better for the podcast. I can happily report I've been officially verified on Twitter by the powers that be at the Twitterverse. I now have a blue check mark because of my victory at Calmania 3. I've been given the nod. Okay.
Is that true?
I'm now famous enough on the strength of my match, and I think a little bit on the strength of The Rock regramming the promo. Because The Rock regrammed the promo, I think just I'm raising the profile of the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. Okay. You're not going to get a blue check mark for yourself, Dan. I had to go out and fucking earn one. Okay. So that's what I did. Oh, it's for you guys. I did it for the show.
You have 1,000 followers.
It's not about fame. It's about how important I am.
I was that close to getting a check mark. You fucked me. But with
I didn't fuck you
and your crew.
Whatever. They're called the Ever Beach Bad Boys, and they're everybody's crew. They're the crew of the podcast. By the way, guys, we are in the works of making an Ever Beach Bad Boys t-shirt that you guys could buy on the Comedians of Wrestling PWT store. Ever Beach Bad Boys, look for that. It's going to be majorly important. Sorry. That's announcement number one. Announcement number two.
We could say Mage on the show. Dipperstein gave us direct permission to say Mage on the show.
Okay. All right. Well, the shirt is going to be Mage. Okay. It's going to be a Mage shirt. I'm sorry. There's no other way to say it. The shirt will be Mage.
Yeah.
The other announcement I needed to make is this. Before I ever even became champion,
okay,
back when I was living in New York, you know, it was a tough time for me. I had left my fiance in the dead of winter, in the dead of a pandemic. Like a
you
dead
left her, she, you let her in. You left her in like a big mound of snow, right?
I smashed her face into a pile of snow, and I left out the front door.
That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant at all. I was picturing her standing in a mound of snow, okay? Jesus, what are you, Jackie Gleason? Jesus Christ.
I sent her to the moon, and it was a tough time, man, and I was back home on Long Island. But the one thing that was kind of cool about it, well, you know, let me tell you something. By the way, moving back home with your parents in a pandemic after your heart's broken, you know, not I would not recommend. That's not that chill. Okay, so I'm home. The one thing that's great though is, you guys know this about me. I am the street whisperer. The streets don't lie. I got my ears to the streets, and I always got my finger on the pulse. I know what's going on. The streets talk to me. I hear voices in my head, but it's the streets. Okay. When I got to Long Island, I got closer to the streets of Long Island, and part of that, part of being close to the streets of Long Island is I was able to tap in to the hometown of MJF. Maxwell Jacob Friedman is from Plainview, which is 20 minutes from where I was staying with my parents. And I listened to the streets. I put my ears to the streets.
Whoa, wait, what are we going? What are you going? Where are you going with
and
this?
I said, I guarantee you within 6 months, I will find out was MJF cool in high school? What's the deal with MJF?
Wow.
Okay. Now, the thing is this. I then had to do what I had to do. I had to leave. I had to go to the beach. Now, I had to take my shot. I saw a shot. I had to take the case, get the title, come to Hawaii. So I became the beach whisperer. I'm not just the street whisperer. I'm also the beach whisperer. But the whispers still got here. It took a little bit longer, but the whispers got to me. And now I'm getting answers. I found out a lot about Maxwell Jacob Friedman's youth, about his childhood, about whether or not he was the man in high school. I've got a lot of info on this guy.
Wow.
I even might have some photographs, okay? I'm not going to debut this stuff on this week's pod. I'm not going to tell you guys the full report that the streets whispered to me.
Okay, wait. Okay. So are you saying that we're going to get an episode of you popping into the podcast and revealing Maxwell Jacob Friedman's, MJF's, high school
transcript.
Status?
Full transcript. I'm going to give you the full status of this guy. As you know, high school stats, very important to me. I got a 1510 on my SAT, and I don't shut up about it, okay? Yeah. I found out, was he an A-teamer or a B-teamer? And you know what I mean. Was he the most popular group, second most popular group, not popular at all? What was he into? Was he a huge mark? Did people think it was weird? We don't know. Well, you don't know. I do know. I spoke to a great number of people through the grapevine, through the streets, and I can tell you this. On the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, maybe it's a bonus ep, maybe it's a future ep. At some point, I will give you guys the full skinny on, like, yo, MJF, what was his deal when he was a kid? What was his deal in high school?
So we're going to get an episode of the podcast at some point called Was MJF Cool in High School?
Correct. And it'll be brought to you by me, the Street Whisperer and the Beach Whisperer.
And are you saying that, I mean, because obviously, you know, I have my issues with you, but what's best for business is best for business, you know, is and MJF, we know, has been ranking podcasts, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So here's the deal. You know that I am a guy who, whether you like it or you don't like it, you better learn to love it, okay? Because I'm raising the bar of the podcast. I'm raising the profile, and I'm making you guys great content. Cowmania 3 was great content, you guys. I got David Arquette booked on the show. I got the podcast mentioned on The Rock's main feed Instagram. And now we may very well get Maxwell Jacob Friedman to listen to the podcast, because he better, if he knows what's good for him, because I will be going into a This Is Your Lifestyle evaluation.
Wow.
Of whether or not he was cool in high
school. Now, is this going to be a Bailey This Is Your Lifestyle or a Foley Rock This Is Your
Lifestyle?
This
is going to be more akin to a Foley Rock This Is Your
Life. Okay. All right. All right. All right. One of the best, most memorable segments of all time in wrestling.
Yeah. Yes.
And one, yes, one of the worst segments in wrestling history.
Look, if I had to be perfectly honest, it might be somewhere in the middle. It might be somewhere in the middle. Again, this is a podcast, not a visual medium, so I don't know. But all you need to know is this.
You're not gonna say it doesn't matter to your first grade teacher, or?
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm gonna tell you this. This is what it's like when you've got Jason Shapiro as the champion. Okay. We do mage things on this pod now.
Okay? Oh my God.
I've got another announcement. Okay?
Oh, my God.
I've got another announcement for you guys. A lot of you guys are great wrestling fans. You know all about not just the main product on WWE. You know about AEW. You know about the smaller the indies. You know about your ROHs or even other stuff. PWG, CZW. You know, you people are well-seasoned, well-versed fans. You're watching the Japanese stuff, okay? You guys know Danhausen. You know all about Donovan Danhausen. What I'm telling you is this. I'm prepared to make Danhausen one of my guys.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd like to make him officially locked in as one of my guys. And I'll tell you what, anyone who knows me personally, Dan, Arlen, they know
Conan.
That I was the first guy they ever knew who owned a Bullet Club t-shirt. Mm. And why is that? Did I ever watch a Bullet Club match? Absolutely not. But because I'm a street whisperer and I know what's going on in the streets, I could feel something was happening in Japan. I said, this is a big deal. I got to get a t-shirt. And then it became a big, I'm very good at finding the way. I'm a tastemaker. I'm a trendsetter. And I'm telling you, the time is now. Danhausen's star is on the rise. He's doing great work. He's super fucking funny. There's really nothing like this in wrestling right now. It's like horror comedy and just great, great stuff to watch. If you haven't seen him.
Tulo, have you seen Danhausen live yet, wrestle?
Yeah, he's great.
He's incredible. He's incredible. I haven't seen him live. I've just seen videos. And then he has a bunch of other content. But he was on Conan O'Brien's podcast this week. Mm-hmm. He's on a bunch of other podcasts this week. The guy's star is on the rise. And I know how to make a guy one of my guys.
So the thing I know is his Pee Wee Herman dance.
The tequila dance. We love it.
Which I was just watching yesterday.
You ever see his match versus Orange Cassidy? It's amazing.
Yeah, no. They're so great. I would say that those guys are a very similar slot to me, where there are two guys who mm-hmm. can go. There are two guys who can wrestle, but like don't have to get over.
Danhausen's doing big things on Ring of Honor.
Yeah, well, he just got signed to ROH. But here's the deal. I am actually predicting that within 1 year's time, he's actually going to get signed to AEW.
Yeah,
within 1 year now, he'll be in AEW. They're going to bring him up. There's no way they don't, because he's too hot. He's too caliente. And that's why, Dan, if you want to get those fireworks ready, I'm making Donovan Danhausen one of my guys.
Real underwhelming
sound effect there. And
is it low for you? It was high for me.
I've also been DMing with him. I'm just saying.
You were DMing with Danhausen.
Look, the blue check mark goes a long way, guys. Okay, I'm verified on Twitter now. Okay, I'm a DM machine. Okay.
All right.
So he might make me one of his guys.
I tell you what, a Danhausen versus Jason Shapiro match would be entertaining.
It's a dream match. It's a dream match everyone's been clamoring for.
Just saying.
Okay. Well, that's I'm watching more Danhausen stuff. I've seen he's very fun. He kind of like the thing is he looks like Finn when he's in the makeup and stuff, because he's got he wears like kind of Finn's gear, but he's somehow even smaller than Finn.
He's definitely smaller than Finn.
How small are we gonna go with these wrestlers? You know what I mean? is there a limit?
Is there a limit?
A basement? Is there a basement for that?
Well, here's what I will say about that, okay? When we were growing up, the baddest boxers on the planet, you know, you think about Mike Tyson. You think about Holyfield, Riddick Bowe, Lennox Lewis, heavyweights, all right? And then nowadays, like the biggest boxer, I mean, if you want to even call him that, I mean, actually, I don't know what else you'd possibly call him that. Floyd Mayweather, who's 5'8", 150, okay? And he's known as, like, the best boxer of all time. I think it's bullshit. I think it's garbage. But if you're going to go from a heavyweight, at, you know, walking in the ring at 260 down to a 5'8", 150-pound guy as the big draw, then why can't we get smaller than Finn in wrestling?
Wow. I guess we can. We can. All right, let's the guy's name's Anand Kirk Verk, right?
Excuse me?
That announcer, Anand.
Oh,
Verk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a lot of work to do. He's got a lot of Anand von work to do.
All right, a couple things I want to still mention. So we are getting the Reigns Cesaro feud. Right?
Yeah.
Probably at Backlash. Now that we're on the road to WrestleMania Backlash, it looks like we're going to get a Cesaro-Roman match, which I was asking for. How do we book that? Do we let Cesaro? Like, what do we? No. I mean, it's just
dude,
there's no way.
Here's what's going to happen. Here's exactly what's going to happen. He's going to lose. He's going to look incredible. But this, he's fighting for the title. You know what I mean? Like, it raises his star to have a title.
He just has to have good showings, but Roman's going to beat him clean, right?
Right. There's no way they're going to have Roman drop the title to Cesaro. I mean, that's absolutely crazy. Hey, Dan, sorry, man. Your dad is calling me. I think he sent me some pictures. Some sonograms? Yeah, so okay. I don't know. I'm gonna take this, actually.
Goodbye. It's fine. It's fine with me. I had enough. All right, see ya.
I mean, some of the stuff is pretty racy. I'm seeing some texts and stuff from between the two of these guys. Travis and your father, I'm saying. You're like, really? Okay. Like, I think your dad was involved in some sort of like group scenario over there. It seems like he's in a throuple with Ronda Rousey and Travis Brown.
The swingers?
I don't know what happened here today, but I like it.
All right, well, I'll catch you guys later.
Bye. Matt Riddle beats Randy Orton on Raw.
First of all, I mean, this is the match, right? I mean, like, it's perfect. I mean, stomping on his fucking feet, right? Like, it's perfect. Randy Orton is going to beat the absolute fucking shit out of Matt Riddle. This guy is going to... They're just going to run him through all the vets, and they're all going to get a chance to beat the shit out of this fucking kid, man, and he's done.
And then he's done? What do you mean?
No, they'll probably shelve him for a while.
Yeah, I mean...
That's the vibe I get, you know? Like, always getting this push, and then once Randy's done with him, where do you go after losing to Randy? Like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, because I guess he beat him with, like, a roll-up, so I'm like, I guess maybe they go into this Backlash pay-per-view, give Riddle a match there?
I mean, yeah. And I just love the fact that Randy's like, I don't even know who he is, you know? Like, what's his name? Whatever his name is. Like, that's... And then he's complaining to Pierce about the respect thing. It's all they're bringing his real life heat, which is Riddle's heat, to the forefront, and they're making a story out of it. It kind of it works. It just works.
So, did you say that Charlotte she got fined? They said she got fined $100,000, right?
Suspended and fined $100,000, and she's on a boat with Andrade now.
Right, I saw that. She's getting some work done again.
I heard dental work. That was the
maybe she got her tooth fucked up. But she didn't even. She hasn't even wrestled, right?
Yeah, she just wrestled on Monday.
Oh, she wrestled Asuka, right. No. She wrestled Asuka on Monday. That's good. So, right. They're trying to. They'll probably. Do you think we see a triple threat at Backlash?
Yeah,
just
play
the inevitable Charlotte Rhea feud.
Yeah, I see a triple threat at Backlash. I mean, it would. Yeah, I mean, it's the only thing that really makes sense, unless they go Asuka versus Charlotte at Backlash, and then move Charlotte versus Rhea down the line a little bit.
All right. Well, whatever. The bottom line here is, look, we're they're going for Drew, Bobby Lashley again, which we didn't really care about.
Here's one thing I want to share.
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre
should
not start off the show with his entrance, and then re-enter again later.
Yeah,
with
why?
His entrance.
Why did he do the sword?
Start
to cut a
in
promo?
The fucking ring. Just start
yeah,
in the
is
ring.
Why doing the sword to cut a promo
twice?
Just to kill time, maybe.
Come on.
Yeah,
I mean,
it should be like you bring the sword out when you're going to war. Not
I'm
to
like,
cut a promo.
Yeah, and it's he gets double the flames and double the fucking fireworks each time. Like it's like crazy.
Yeah,
it makes no sense. There's no logic to that show at all.
No, I totally agree. I don't know. I was kind of weird, but the, I mean, I don't know. You know, Bobby Lashley
feels
just like,
honestly.
We didn't even see Bobby on Monday, right?
I don't think we did. No, because MVP came out. And the other thing was is that they had Rhea versus Asuka booked on Monday, and they changed that to Charlotte versus Asuka.
Right.
And then they also said Drew's going to confront MVP, and MVP came out and just cut off Drew's thing. So I don't even know what the fuck they're doing there. I mean, like, honestly, it's wild. Like, it's becoming, like, listen, it's still wrestling. It's on. There's some good stuff happening still. But, like, they need to fucking make a change quick. It feels like Vince is just completely off his rocker.
Yeah, I listen, it's post-WrestleMania. They're figuring out. The way I watch after WrestleMania is like, all right, they're going to have some feuds that you're just not going to care about at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them will be, what I'm saying is that they go through Mania, which is fine. But, like, we didn't care about Lashley Drew before Mania, so now that's going to keep going, so it's going to be hard to care about that, right?
Yeah.
Right or wrong, like, I don't think anyone cares about that. And it's kind of, it's just a bad zone for Drew, because you want him to be in matches you care about, but I don't even know what those exactly are right now. But it's fine. It's just
there's
for right
only
now.
There's only one answer. It's they got to get rid of the brand split.
Honestly. The brand split is just so sucky.
The brand
it's
split
so,
is
so bad.
They
got to
get rid of it. There's no reason why these it, like they.
It's
they,
so sucky.
It's so sucky. One men's tag title, one woman's tag title. You can make one woman's title, one mid-card woman's title, and then the same thing, like, and then just combine the men's titles. Like, honestly, it's enough is enough. Like, this shit makes no sense. Like, right, I should be seeing Roman on Raw and SmackDown every week.
Yeah,
every single week. Monday and Friday. Monday and Friday.
It's
I should only be getting Roman Reigns on my television, okay? I don't need any of this other bullshit anymore. Like what are we doing?
The Raw after Mania, like, it's weird when the guy who headlines on both shows, which is Bianca and Roman,
yeah,
neither of them are on Raw. It just feels wrong.
It sucked.
Bianca, I didn't like the way they used Bianca on SmackDown either. It was like as like kind of like a preamble to the Profits match, right?
Yeah, yes and no. So yeah, I kind of liked it because, you know, they're probably just teasing you, but it would be interesting to see if the Profits could get the titles and then the three of them working together. Yeah. I think that would be a nice chemistry. I think that's a really great thing for her to get over as a babyface is to put her with the Street Profits. I think it's great. I heard Montez's chemistry. Montez is just, and no slight to Dawkins either because Dawkins is really good, but, man, that guy Montez Ford is just so fucking
charismatic. He's very charismatic. And then, like, they had the thing. It's like, yo, we only wear gold in our house. That was fun. Mm-hmm. That was fun. I just was like, I don't know. It wasn't it felt a little wrestling. It was a little cheese to me. It was, you know.
It's 8:05 fucking Dynamite time.
Yeah. Anyway, that's fine. We're going to get out of here. Oh, the most important thing to mention, I think that we said everything, you know, we're in this weird time here, post-Mania, what it is. But the thing I say every year is like, look for the matchups you wouldn't get during the lead up to Mania, like when they try and stuff. So, example is the Riddle Orton. That's the fun stuff they do this time. We'll get Roman Cesaro. Like, that's going to be really fun. So, I don't know. I have a blast with that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
we only have those two right now, really.
I mean, them doing the matches, the rematches right after on the shows is so bad. Also, it's just like, man, what an opportunity.
They should just go right into it. Should like immediately like, all right, and the tournament starts right that Raw right after, right?
Yeah, something like it doesn't matter. Like,
and it should
like,
all restart because it's just for the health of the product. Like,
what settled at the Sammy and Kevin Owens match? Like, what wasn't? He beat him. I mean, what's left?
I know.
You know,
it's hard to care after Mania's
start,
over.
Or, like, you know, start, give Kevin a new opponent, but let Sammy come back out and, like, interfere and be like, I'm not done with you. Okay, that's one way to extend it, you know, like.
Right.
But
I agree. I mean, I just
think they got a lot of work to do.
Structure would help everything as if they had
so much.
A tournament you cared about after. Like, I just think tournaments or something to be like, or now we're restarting everybody. Like, that's the stuff about AEW I like. Not that they totally nail either, where it's like, because they don't have a WrestleMania, you know? But if they had something in WrestleMania, it'd be like, day one. Now everybody's records restart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like now everyone gets to rebuild. It's like, wow.
It's so awesome, beautiful.
If it was like, man, a guy like Sean Spears, for example, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if he just had like one breakout year where he was just a Cinderella story on fire and his record, you saw it.
And it's beautiful. That's what AEW, like, they say the rankings like are stupid, but like, yo, everything going into this week is rankings. You have Ricky versus Hangman. That's a thing. Hangman's at the top. Ricky says he's won a bunch of matches. He should be in his spot. Yeah, you know, Darby says I want someone in the top five of the rankings. They pick Jungle Boy. You have the number one contender versus the champion in the women's match. I mean, what are we? The Bucks, like you would like. What are we? It's perfect. You go into a show knowing what you're gonna get. They say if you want to get if you want opportunities, you gotta earn wins. So Britt Baker's on Elevation and Dark, just fucking stacking up wins, and now she's number two in the rankings again. It's fucking perfect. It makes too much sense. And then on the opposite end, and I won't even put NXT in with it because I really think NXT is a good show, but you have Raw that's just like a horror show. And I feel bad because if anybody's on that show, they got to be so miserable.
Yeah.
Except for Randy Orton.
Totally. All right. Let's get out of here.
I gotta watch some Dynamite.
Too much, and we're gonna watch Dynamite right now. It's Wednesday. It's only Dynamite's on tonight. Remember,
beautiful.
No NXT. And everybody, thanks for listening. Remember, Cal Movie Club will be back next week. Is an episode out right now. If you're at the Cal Zoom Thunderdome level, our next Zoom Thunderdome will be obviously WrestleMania Backlash, right? I don't even know when that is, but
it's either Backlash or we wait till Double or Nothing.
Balls of great balls of fire, baby. we'll talk about it next week because we'll figure out when that is. But if you're at the CalZoom Thunderdome level, you get access to our full archives of the Cal Movie Club, by the way, which is us watching movies with pro wrestlers in them. All those episodes are a blast, and you don't have to watch these movies. We watch them for you. If you like the episode, it's a good impetus to watch the movie. We'll watch a random movie with Edge as a psychologist for you. I just talk about how ridiculous it is. We do a hilarious breakdown of See No Evil 2 with Kane. This movie's terrible. And
that's one I'm definitely just gonna listen to, and I'm not gonna watch the movie.
Don't watch it. But the first See No Evil is actually worth watching, actually. The one with Kane.
Yeah.
That one's actually pretty good. We all kind of like that. It's a pretty fun horror movie. You can check that out. And but the Cal Movie Club is available this season of it for patrons at all levels. All right? Everybody, support the podcast, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. And everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cheers up.